Well, good morning. Mount Helena Community Church. Hallelujah. Guys, it is, once again, it is a blessing to be here this morning. It's great to see all of you. I know this is my third time actually coming to Montana. And from the first time I started coming, I've just loved it. You guys have a beautiful country. Lovely people, and just stay the way that you are. Hallelujah. Amen. But obviously growing to be more like Christ. Amen. So guys, I don't wanna waste any time. I wanna really dive into what I felt the Lord really lay on my heart. And basically what I'm doing this morning, I'm continuing the message that was spoken 3 weeks ago, right? About God's vision for the church, which your pastor JR had started a three-week series on that. I did jump into it a bit last week, Sunday, but really sharing our story as Issachar. But this morning I want to try and zoom in to the whole message, because why? From Matthew chapter 9, we saw that there were a few things that came out. Jesus saw, which was speaking about vision, right? Which I'm not going to repeat what JR had said, but Jesus came, he saw, meaning that he had a vision for what he was seeing. And his vision then led him to compassion. Compassion for the crowds that were before him. And so from that compassion should lead to what? To action. Amen. And so this morning I want to be working or dealing with the action side of it. Amen. Because I am a man of action. I don't like just to talk about stuff in a boardroom kind of a sense and then everything stays there. No, I want to talk and then I want stuff to start happening after that. That's how we should be as believers. We should not just be talkers. We should be doers of the word, says James chapter 1, right? We should not just be speaking all of these truths, but not allowing it to actually shape us and mold us and then taking it out into the world. Amen? And so this is what we're called to do. And so Jesus wants you and me to see through kingdom lenses what he sees. This is what I feel God wants to do this morning. He wants us to see through, not through our natural eyes or through our natural senses. He wants us to see this morning through kingdom lenses what he sees. And not necessarily what we just focusing on. And in the Gospels, Jesus often said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Like that blows my mind every time. And Jesus wasn't trying to be super religious when he said that. Jesus actually was a man of his word. And so Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He only responded in that. He would never do what was outside of the Father's will. I mean, isn't that just amazing? And Jesus is saying these things and he's doing these things so that you and I can get encouragement through it by actually seeing that there is something that you and I are being invited into. Like, I like to say this. Jesus wasn't bored. We're not bored on a Sunday morning to come and preach the gospel, right? There is reasons why these things happen, and it is to build us up, to draw us closer to Jesus. And so Jesus wants us to do what we see him doing. And friends, this is an invitation to participate in worldwide kingdom advance. Worldwide kingdom advance. It's not something that is forced on us, but it's an invitation. And I just love the language of invitation. I mean, even salvation is an invitation. It's nothing that's forced on any of us. Jesus presents the truth of by saying, look to the cross and see what I have accomplished for you. Look what I have done. I have paid the price. I have settled the bill. All you need to do is respond in faith. It's responding to this glorious invitation that Jesus gives to you and to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this morning, for all of us, we are invited into something. You may be invited into a relationship with Jesus this morning. Or you may be invited into taking your walk with Jesus to the next stage. Or you may be invited into something that blows your mind. Come on now. Like something that blows your mind. You know what? Christianity is not this boring kind of a thing. If you see it in that way, you're missing out on a lot. I can tell you that. But Christianity is, this walk is an adventure. I mean, I spoke about it last week about a white river rafting. Like, come on. Like, it's just this level of expectation and anticipation of, I don't know what's going to happen when I hit this next rock. Whether I'm going to fly off this boat or am I going to hold on like a rodeo. Amen. And this is what this walk is about. It's an enjoyable one. And Jesus invites us into this. Amen. So where's my slide, guys? Are we ready? Right. Matthew chapter 5 and from verse 13 to 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, friends, just a very quick thing, right? This is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And before we come to verse 13, there is Jesus. And so it's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus is actually on the mountain. There's these crowds of people that are there. And he's using this opportunity now to really share kingdom principles with them. To show them, hey, listen here. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. But it's interesting how he starts the Sermon on the Mount off. He starts it off by saying, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. And he constantly goes on with it. But you see, when we look in the Old Testament, where do we find something very similar happening? It was at the time where Moses was at a mountain, Mount Gerizim. And what is he doing? He had half of the Israelites stand on Mount Gerizim, and he had half of the other Israelites standing on Mount Ebal. And on this mountain, Moses is doing what? On Mount Gerizim, he is declaring blessings over the people. And over Mount Ebal, he is declaring curses over the people. Now, in the Old Testament, you were blessed if you followed right. Or if you did things right. It was all under the law. Your relationship with God was based on the law. But here is Jesus, standing on a mountain, declaring blessing with no law attached to it, but it is fueled with grace. Blessed are you, says Jesus, with no curse. Blessed are you if you see things in this way. Blessed are you if you walk in this way. It is no push on you. It's once again an invitation. So Jesus wants his people to know that at the start, he is reenacting what happened on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. But this time it's not based on law, it's based on grace. It's based on the love of God. And he gives these blessed statements, and then he dives into, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light. And this morning I want to share three very short points with you. Point number one is identity fuels our mission. Point number two will be the salt of the earth, which is the preserving the world. Okay, thank you, Johnny. And then my last point will be light, witnessing out of his goodness. So point number one, identity fuels our mission. Knowing who you are, friends, is key in kingdom advance. If you don't know who you are, it can lead you astray. I want to use a very quick example. In South Africa, when you come into prison, right? Many of you know my story, and before I became a believer, I was in and out of prison. But when you come into prison, the first thing the prisoners will ask you is, who are you? They're not interested in your name. What they're interested in, how do you identify in this prison? Are you part of a gang within this prison? And they see it in many ways, through the tattoos that you have, for the way that you're operating, the people you're communicating with. So can you see that even within a prison system, but wherever we go, identity is so key. If you do not know who you are, then you can be lost. And notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus is very clear. He says, you are. He's not offering a suggestion to his disciples at this moment. He's not suggesting that, hey, listen here, this is maybe who you are. He's being direct in saying, you are. He's declaring what he sees over them. Friends, I want you and I to get a hold of this. You see, the world is often telling us a whole lot of things about who we are. The enemy lies to us and tells us who you are. But Jesus wants us this morning to have a kingdom perspective and for us to lay a hold of how he sees you and me. You see, if we believe what Jesus says, then these other voices don't have place in our lives. And so for many of us in the world today, like we're listening to what our teachers are saying, we're listening to what the enemy is feeding us, we're listening to the noises that are out here, and it is causing our bodies to be corrupted. It's hurting us because as we start believing the stuff that you are not, what does it do to you? It cripples you. It spiritually cripples you. It holds you captive. And I remember growing up, my family used to tell me, you are the black sheep of this family. And I knew that I was a bad person. I knew I was doing wrong. But do you know that I laid a hold of that? And I believed everything in me that I was the black sheep of this family? And because I believed that, that became my vision and my mission in life. That I wanted to be the baddest person that this community or my family would ever see. That my family in the end was scared of me. Friends, I am not proud of it. But when I look back on that life, I see the lie that I had been living. And Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning, you are not what the world says you are. You are who he says you are. And remember, we were created, you and I were created for fellowship with the Lord. And because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, that relationship got broken. It was damaged, but it was not forgotten. Are you hearing me this morning? It was damaged and broken, but it was not forgotten because God the Father did not give up on humanity. And throughout the whole of the Old Testament, he was preparing for his son to come into the world in order that he would become that sacrifice for you and for me. In order that through his sacrifice, we would come into this relationship with the risen Lord. That relationship would be restored once and for all. And when we come into that relationship, friends, he says, this is who you are. You become a child in the kingdom. No longer are you lost. Once we were lost, but now we are found. Once we were blind, but now we can see. Once we were crippled, but now we can walk. Once we had no hope, now we have a hope. Not in what we have done, but in what he has done for us. Identity is the key, friends, in how we move forward. And Jesus says, this is who you are. In Matthew chapter 4, just very quickly, we're not going to go there. But Matthew chapter 4, you see, Jesus knows too well about identity. Because in Matthew chapter 4, when he's anointed by the Holy Spirit and his mission starts, what happens to him? He goes into the desert where he is tempted by the enemy. And what are the first words the enemy says? If you are the Son of God. Like, come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like there was a voice that just said, this is my son, whom I love and whom I am well pleased in. And here comes the enemy. Hey, if you are, the man is hungry. He's been fasting and he comes with a loaf of bread. The enemy is cunning, friends. if you didn't know that. You know when you're at your lowest is where he will come with the solution. With the solution. Not the solution, with the solution. Jesus had just been fasting for 40 days. He hadn't been eating. He's hungry. And the enemy comes to him and says, if you are, and he's talking about bread, the last thing you're going to be talking about to a man who is fasting. Like, come on, like, where's your heart? But you see, Jesus overcame him with the word of God. You see, Jesus knows well about identity. You and I need to lay a hold of our identity. Friends, if your life is with Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, then you are a child of God and nothing less. No matter the mistakes that you make, because we all make mistakes, no matter the things that we get into, you still remain a child of God. God does not disown us the moment we make a mistake. He's a good father. He is a graceful father who has taken us out from darkness and into his light. And so Jesus wants you and me, friends, not just to know this, not just to have a head knowledge, but to believe it. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in knowing something, but there's a difference in believing it. This is the walk we are in is not based on knowledge. Are you hearing me? Jesus doesn't want our heads to be puffed up. He wants our hearts to be puffed up with the knowledge of who he is and the understanding of who he is, and then we walk in the fullness of that. Friends, this is the God that we are serving. This is who you are. And so let's stop listening to the world, to the enemy, and every other distracting voice, because Jesus, as Jesus says it, so I will believe it. If Jesus says it, I will believe that. And you and I need to believe it. So who are you, according to Jesus? Who are you? Which brings me to point number two. You are the salt of the earth. You and I are the salt of the earth, the preserving. We are here to preserve the world, the decay that is happening. Notice that Jesus doesn't say you need to try and be salt. Does he say that? No. He's clear. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Not go and try and be salt. Now, back in Jesus' time, salt was used as a preserving agent, meaning that they didn't have refrigerators like what we have today. And so to try and preserve meat, they would put salt on it in order that it wouldn't turn rotten quickly. It would take some time. You were preserving the meat. But salt also was used and is still being used to add flavor. Amen? To add flavor to something. Now, we live in a world that is broken by sin, friends. We all know that and we can see it all around us. And is in constant decay because of that. The world around us is broken because of sin. And our world, unfortunately, is decaying. So grab a hold of what Jesus is saying here. Understand what he's saying. In the midst of a broken, of a decaying world, your presence in the world slows down the decay of sin, of injustice, and corruption. Okay, you don't believe that. Your presence there in this world slows down this decay of sin and injustice and corruption in the world. Come on, I'm with you guys. Yeah, and half of you are here with me. This other group, I don't know what's happening here. In a world filled with violence, with greed and brokenness, you and I, if you are a believer here this morning, you and I live as a preserving influence amongst this chaos. Come on now. Friends, this is no small thing. This is no small thing. This is what Jesus wants you and me to get a hold of. Remember, vision ushers in compassion, which leads to action. And if we believe that, if we see with the vision that Jesus gives us, with godly vision and with compassion, our hearts go out into a broken world. It's going to lead us into something. Me being salt right where I am and not trying to be sugar. Isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't say that you are the sugar of the earth or you are the honey of the earth. Wouldn't that be better? Even though those things have their own value. No, but Jesus is going for salt. Jesus is going for salt. And in the world today, in your communities, friends, things are bitter. Things are sour. Things are painful. Yet your presence in your home, in your schools, in your communities, in your workplaces should turn that into something tasty. Have you ever tasted a meal with no salt? Blah. No, listen, you can eat it. You can. Let's be honest, you can. But put a little bit of salt there. Oh my gosh, you'll just be like, oh my word. Like salt, friends. It turns the dish around. This is what Jesus is alluding to. He's saying when you step into situations, you should be turning things around just with your presence. By you believing who you are. I am a child of God, but I'm also the salt of the earth. Notice that Jesus doesn't say you are the salt of your home or the salt of your community. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus has got a big vision for you. He's got worldwide vision for you. We start in Jerusalem, but we end in the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying. But we're not only salt. Which brings me to my last point, and I'm going to close off with this here. Point number three is light. And light does what? It shows the way. Light shows the way. It shines to witness to his goodness. Friends, where there is light, darkness has got to go. It has no option. Isn't that interesting? Darkness has no option when light steps into the room. It doesn't negotiate whether can I still hang around for 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes. When the light comes on, the darkness must go. Let's translate that to you and me. We're living in a darkened world. Wherever we go, there is darkness that is there. But when we step into these situations, what should be happening? Darkness should be fleeing. But many of the times what's happening is that when we, and don't think I'm coming against you in any way or trying to bring condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But sometimes when we step into situations, we don't act like the light. We actually play into the darkness because you don't want to offend and you don't want to hurt people and you don't want to look like, oh, okay, I'm the only one that's standing out here. I want to fit in. Friends, now is not a time to fit in. Now is the time for our light to shine. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, he is the light of the world. And notice what happened. When Jesus came to earth, the light came into this broken world that we are living in today. When that light broke forth, what started happening? Jesus started seeing, he started to have compassion, and he started to go amongst these communities, amongst these people, bringing what? The kingdom of God. Because why? The light had come into the world. Friends, communities were transformed. Individuals' lives were transformed. There was a man that was sitting at the graveyard for so many years, demon-possessed. People didn't want anything to do with him. He was chained up. He would break these chains. But when Jesus came, that darkness could not hold him back. And that man got saved that day. He was set free of those demons. Why? Because the light had come and it penetrated that man. His life was transformed. And you know what happened after that? He wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back to your home. He goes back into his neighborhood and the gospel advances into 10 different cities, friends, through one man who was stuck in a graveyard. Will you and I be that one person that will cause the light of Jesus to shine through us? No matter where you are, no matter what you do, knowing that as a child of God, it is not your own light that's shining. You have no light. You have absolutely no light. Neither do I. But it's the light of Jesus that is shining through me. And Jesus wants his light to shine wherever you go. He wants you and me to declare about his goodness and tell the world about the hope that we have, the reason for the hope that we have in him. This is the reason why the light is there. And friends, for you and me this morning to acknowledge and to believe who we are in Christ sets the stage for us to become community and world influencers. For you and I to believe that you are, your identity is in Christ. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. The world wants to see and they want to know what Jesus has done through you. Amen. Because Jesus has done a marvelous work in and through each and every one of us. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you have done. Jesus has done a work in you. Jesus has done a work in you. And we need to tell a broken world that this is the God that we serve. He is great. He is awesome. He is worthy of our praise. He is the one who is shining in the world today. He is the one who is for you and not against you. And friends, I don't know, for some of you this morning, you may not have this relationship with this God that I'm talking about. And he's inviting you this morning. He's inviting you because he wants you. He wants your identity to be rooted in him. He wants you to become the salt and the light of this earth. Here in Montana, starting in Montana and going out throughout the world. Because he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. He loves you that much that he gave his life for you. And his heart is that none of us would ever be separated from him. But friends, do you know that the reality is that thousands of people each and every day are leaving this earth and are being totally separated from the Lord of glory? It's time for you and me to step up, to rise up, and to be that salt, and to be the light right where we are and wherever he takes you. I know a lot of you like to go on vacations. Who likes to go on vacations here? Do you know, let me tell you something very quickly. Do you know that vacation is not just for you? There's an honest heart there. Do you know that vacation is not just for you? You may be thinking, but I worked for it. Yes, you did. I deserve it. Do you? That vacation is not just for you, friends. Jesus wants you, yes, to go on a vacation with your family, enjoy. But your eyes need to be on the horizon. Lord, who are you bringing in my path today as I go to the beach? Who do you want me to salt today? Who do you want me to shine your light upon today? Even in the midst as I'm enjoying time with my family, but I want to see your kingdom advance even through my holiday. Amen? We don't think like that. But here we are. And this is what Jesus is doing. And so friends, this is what I close with this morning. If your identity is not rooted in Christ this morning, Jesus, by his grace and in his mercy and in his goodness, is calling you, he's inviting you into a relationship with him. Amen? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Only you know whether you are in a relationship with him or not. It's not my responsibility to tell you whether you are in a relationship with him or not. You know. And if you are not, then friends, Jesus' arms is open wide for you this morning. He is welcoming you. He wants you to be a part of his family. And we would like to pray for you later. The second group of people that we would like to pray for is that the enemy has been feeding lies over you, especially around your identity, who you are in Christ. And you feel that you have not been living out your purpose in him because of the different lies that you've been believing. I believe that there's grace available for you today, that Jesus wants to bust that out of you. He wants to set you free from that in order that you can walk in total freedom this morning. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, never to be bound again by a yoke of slavery, friends. Jesus does not want us to be held back in a prison, a spiritual prison. He wants us to be free because he purchased that freedom for us. And so we want to pray for if you feel you are in that position this morning. And lastly, I want to pray. You don't have to raise your hand for this one here. But there's three things I'm going to call out where I believe that God wants to do some healing, some physical healing amongst us this morning. And the things that I felt him share with me was, number one, you've got chest. You've got pain in your chest. Or there's issues with your chest. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. But if that is you, we would love for you to respond and come down when we finish. The second one is allergies. You've been experiencing allergies. I don't know what allergies they are, but just allergies in general, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, cool. And then the last one, I've never got this before. Scoliosis, right? According to Google, it's a spine condition. That's what I felt, right? So friends, those three groups, if that is you, let's make your way. Hallelujah. I'm done.